want you to follow the instructions on the video and actually do what I say in the video, okay?
If you ever notice okay. in a sermon, a preacher will start his sermon by telling a story. Why? Because story give eyes to your ears. Story enables you to see the sermon before you learn the sermon. So I'm going to teach you how to do that all throughout this training. So when you share the gospel with your friends and family, you can show them the gospel before you teach them the gospel. So I'm gonna give you an illustration called the glove illustration, and I want you to do what I do and say what I say, because this is all about participation. This is all about talking and sharing. So put your hand up and do what I do and say what I say. Say, a glove is made in the image of a hand. A glove is made in the image of a hand, so the hand can fit in it and enable the glove to fulfill its purpose. I'm gonna say it again. A glove is made in the image of a hand, so the hand can fit in it and enable the glove to fulfill its purpose. Take the hand out of the glove is dead. Now say, in the same way. Say, in the same way. God made us in His image so He can live inside of us and enable us to fulfill our purpose. If God is not in us, we are spiritually dead.
What's up? What's up? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church. Amen. Hey, there's energy in the room. Come on, stand up. There's energy in the room. Hopefully, all y'all at the other campuses did the glove illustration. If not, we're going to do it again. But I'm telling you, the training that we're doing, just one training in our small groups, throughout the church, is empowering people to share the gospel. People are sharing the gospel all over in other churches as well. So let's give all those people a big hand. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. If you either signed up with your gospel partner but didn't register, go to reachjustone.com, register and start doing the training. And if you haven't, register and do the training. If your small group hasn't started, let's go. We want to do this together. A lot of people are already getting saved. If you were here last week, you heard about that. And so that's one of the videos for this week. You're going to learn about the glove and the gospel context. Amen? I am so excited today. Let's go. Also, you heard that next week is my birthday. Next Sunday is my birthday. I'll be 65. I'll be here. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I want a birthday present. I hope I haven't personally asked y'all for something for me. I know I've asked you all the time to do stuff for the church, but I want something that I want you to do for me. Do I have permission to do that? Okay, only 10 of y'all are saying yes. But bring somebody next week that doesn't know Jesus. That's it. Put yourself out there. Put yourself out there. Myself, our staff, our volunteers, team members, we put out a lot every week to give you Sunday. And I'm just asking you to bring someone who specifically, if they don't know Christ, is better, but if they did and they fell in the way, great. But bring somebody. So that means you have to put yourself out there. You may have to ask two or three people, and you may get rejected, and you will learn that rejection is way overrated. It ain't no big deal. You're actually going to be stronger after you get rejected and bounce back and realize you didn't die. But I want you to be thinking about someone you're going to bring next week. So they could hear the gospel. I'm preaching three sermons on my birthday for that one reason. And I'm going to be sharing the gospel. I'll do the altar call next week. But is that fair to me to ask you that? Yes. I'm asking. So amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on, come on, come on. Let's bow our heads. Pray this prayer with me. And as you pray with me, I'm going to repeat after me. I want you to be thinking about someone who doesn't know Jesus in your life. Lord, thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's try that one more time. Thank you, Lord, for your death and resurrection. Forgive me, Lord, for any lack of trust in your faithfulness that has kept me from sharing the good news. Please, Lord, bring revival to my life, my church, my city, everyone sitting around me right now in this room. Break our hearts for lost people. Give us the courage and the faith to share the gospel clearly, confidently, comfortably. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Whenever my wife and I go someplace in the car and I don't know where we're going, I ask her, where are we going? And sometimes she'll say, go up to the corner and make a left. I'm like, no, 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 we ain't gonna do it that way. I can't go street by street by street because I'll just go crazy. Tell me where we're going before you start giving me the directions, but I want to know the destination. Then I can kind of map it out in my head, at least know I'm going north, going south, east, west, whatever. What I want to do today is kind of tell you where we're going for the next 3 weeks in this series, because we're going to be talking about the gospel. And we're going to talk about the gospel in three pieces because we have structured the gospel in the Just One training in three pieces. The gospel context, everyone say gospel context, which is the reason for the gospel. If you tell someone Jesus died for them, they could easily say and understandably say, why? So we're going to talk about that today. Then there's the gospel text, say gospel text, which is that Jesus lived, died, and rose from the dead, the basic meat of the gospel. And then there's the gospel next, say gospel next. This is the response to the gospel. If you share the gospel with someone, you always want to try to get a response. That you are you going to accept it or not? And so in the training that we're doing, this is what we're going to teach you. And this week is going to be the gospel context. So if you're in the training, or you go to reachjustone.com, get sign up, register, and just start doing it with your gospel partner. It's not complicated. It's designed to be very, very simple. That's what we're going to talk about today. So the gospel, we've broken up into nine different words. Everyone say gospel nine. We're going to read those to you right now. And these nine words are the spine and the structure of the gospel. And the training is based on you understanding how to explain and discuss these words. Because we don't want you just quoting something at somebody. We want you having a conversation and including your story in the gospel. And then equipping you to include their story in the gospel. So it's a conversation, not a confrontation. It should never be a confrontation. If someone wants to argue with you, don't argue. Don't argue. Just say, hey, I don't want to argue. If they want to yell, just say, hey, you're done. It's not about that. It's about a conversation. So let's read these. The first three are the gospel context, which is what we're going to look at today. But we're going to read all this. The first three are the gospel context. Everyone say relationship. Relationship. Say rebel. Say ruin. One more time, say relationship. Say rebel. Say ruin. Very good. That's the gospel context. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. That's what we're going to spend time today doing. Next one is say role model. Say ransom. Say rose. Say role model. Everyone say role model. Say ransom. Say rose. Jesus was a perfect role model. He lived the life we should have lived. He was a perfect ransom. He died the death we should have died in our place. And he's perfect proof of life after death because he rose on the third day. Anybody who rises from the dead, they got clout to tell you whatever they want to tell you. Can I get an amen? I mean, you may not like me today, but if I rose from the dead, hey, you got to give me some props, okay, if I start walking around after I get up. Okay, lastly is the gospel next. This is what you want to say. Listen, now that you heard the gospel, would you be willing to do this? Everyone say repent. Repent. Say repent. Repent. Say receive. Receive. Are you ready? Say, are you ready? Very good. So that's the gospel. So where we're going is that this whole training is we're going to learn how to frame the gospel around those words and have discussion around those concepts. And by the way, you don't have to memorize them exactly. You can say relationship rejected, destroyed. It's the concept. And that's why when you're having conversations with people, you want the gospel to be very seamlessly added. So I want to teach you the glove story and all the people online and all the campuses. I don't know if you did it when you watched the video, but we're going to do it again. This is my go-to favorite story. One of the young ladies in our training, about a year ago, we started working on this, and she was standing in line at a grocery store. And as she was paying, the lady and the cashier said, hey, how you doing? She says, I'm not doing good. And the lady said at the cashier, why are you not doing good? My pastor's mad at me. I wasn't really mad at her, but I was kind of like, you know, Have you shared your faith yet? So, but she said, because you took it as I was mad at her. And she said, why is he mad at you? And the girl said, well, he asked me, we're going through this training, and I'm not sharing my faith. So the lady at the cashier said, well, go ahead, share with me. Go ahead and share with me. And she shared the glove story with her, which we're going to do right now. And the lady said, that makes sense. And then she got a phone number and left. No, no, no. That's where you say, are you ready? You know what I'm saying? You want to ask, right? I'm telling you, I'm going to share this with you. I want you to practice it with somebody this week. Put your hand up. Everyone put your hand up on all the campuses. Put your hand up. Okay. Look at the person next to you. If their hand's not up, say, put your hand up. Okay, here we go. Do what I do. Say what I say. Say, a glove is made in the image of the hand.
So that
the hand can fit in the glove. And give the glove purpose and meaning. Take the hand out of the glove. The glove is dead. In the same way. In the same way. God made us in his image. So that he can live inside of us. And give us purpose and meaning. If God is not in us, we are spiritually dead. Say with me now, God made us in his image to live in a loving relationship with him. Pridefully, we rebelled and ruined the opportunity. So I want to challenge you to share that with somebody this week and just see what they say. But this is part of the training. So what we're going to do today is look at the biblical foundation of the gospel context, that God made us in his image to live in a loving relationship with him. Pridefully, Adam and Eve rebelled and ruined everything for all of us. That's the context. That's why we need Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. So we're going to look at that today, and hopefully in your training, you register this week, go through the training so you can better be prepared how to share this. Number one, God created us in his image to live in a loving relationship with him. That's the first part of this. God created you and me and every person you will ever meet for the rest of your life in his image so we can have relationship with him. Relationship is how two people interact with one another. Every song you sing is all about relationships. And relationships are about movies. Everything's about relationships. All throughout the Bible, God had relationship with people. Abraham was his friend. God is our father. Jesus is his son. We are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. Jesus said, my brother and sister and mother are those who obey the Father. It is a family. God is always the groom to the bride, which is the church. All throughout the Bible, we are relationships. We are spiritual children. And that way, when two people get married, two become one, they have children. When people are united to Christ, we have disciples. It's all based on relationships. Say relationship. So look what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image he created him, male and female. Everyone say male and female. Culture will say there's more than male and female. Culture will say man can be female, female can be male. You have to decide, are you going to listen to culture or are you going to listen to God? It's one or the other. It's one or the other. And the Bible is very clear. This is not complicated. This is not complicated. God made a man, and he made a woman, and he made a man and a woman to come together to make another man and a woman. Just like every seed on the planet is designed to make something after its own kind. This is not complicated. And if you are a son of God, a daughter of God, your job and your responsibility as walking with God is to make another one after you, which is someone who believes in Christ. So it says here, it says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here's what God did. God made the heavens and the earth. Yes, he did. God, matter of fact, the Bible says in Isaiah that he stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and scientists will tell you today that they have discovered after the fact that God, something is stretching out the universe at the speed of light, that there are trillions and trillions of galaxies, and scientists would say we'll never get to the edge of the universe because it's traveling at the speed of light, and it's light years away. God did that. It's organized. It's beautiful. And we talk later on in the year, next year, we'll talk about evolution and creation, and we're going to see how specifically designed the universe is for life that it can't be an accident, and you never have design as a result of a chaotic explosion. It is designed intelligently. But God created the heavens and the universe. He made the earth. And fellas, listen to very closely how, and ladies too, how great a deal God made. He made the heavens and the universe. He made the earth. He put a man in the garden and a woman in the garden and said, have babies and do whatever you want. There's no sin, no death. Enjoy life. Is that a good deal? Okay, let's pause because I just wanted to take a minute to pause. Take a moment. He made a man who was naked. This is in the Bible. He made a woman, and the man, he said to the man, listen, man, you can have any animal you want as your wife. And Adam said, that's none of my, I'm not compatible. Good choice, Adam. Just wanted to make sure you were thinking. He put him to sleep, and he gave him a naked woman and said, be fruitful and multiply. Is that a good deal? Yeah. Come on, I mean, fellas, yeah. What? I'm not trying to trick you. I'm really not. I'm just telling you what's in the Bible. The reason this is important is because when you see that God created a man and woman and said, enjoy your oneness, enjoy the earth, everything is yours, that if you just stop there, and everything is good, if you just stop there and ask yourself, that's a good God. That's the same God that I'm trying to get you to trust. That's what God does. He blessed them. He didn't, no drama. There was no drama. Think about it. They were married and had no drama. Come on. Y'all asleep. Ladies, would y'all love to have a guy with no drama? Okay, fellas, would you love to have a woman with no drama? You guys are missing the greatest thing in the Bible. Fellas, wouldn't you love to just wake up and there's what God gave Eve, God gave Adam? Wouldn't you love him to hook you up like that? Yes, yes. Forget, I don't know about y'all. Yes, for me. Yes, for me. Y'all can trip all you want. And now he said, and God said, I'm going to make you in my image so we can talk. So I can talk to you, you can talk to me. I'm going to make you in my image so I can comfort you, so I can guide you and direct you. You could talk to your dog all day long, your dog ain't talking back to you. You could talk to your plant all day long, your plant is not talking back to you. You could talk to yourself all day long, and unfortunately, you do talk back to yourself. That's the problem. Because if you're talking to yourself for wisdom, you're talking to the person who don't have the wisdom. That's why you're asking. So God said, I'm going to make you in my image, and I'm going to make everybody else in your image so you can have a relationship with each other, and you can have a relationship with me, and I can be in the middle of your relationship. That's a great deal. So if you just pause there, that is the deal God originally made. Now you might be saying, you believe in Adam and Eve? Well, guess what? They just had scientific proof. I didn't have to have this to believe it, but they just came up scientifically tracing the mitochondria in cells that all the DNA of all the human race goes back to two people. Oh, who's that? Just what the Bible says. Just look it up. Don't trust me. Look it up. Number two, pridefully we rebelled. Pridefully, Adam and Eve said, you know what? We think we got a better plan. Let me tell you, you will never, everyone say never.
Never.
Like a valley girl, say never.
Never.
Ever. 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 Will you be smarter than God? You won't. How many of y'all got drama in your life? Probably because someone thought they were smarter than God. Rebel is to reject or go against authority of someone in your life. When we tell God we got a better idea, something's going to die. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. Something's going to die. Rebelling is saying, God, I know you offered me all this blessing. And whenever you come to church, and please test this, whenever you come to church, and we're talking from the Word, all this is designed to bless you. Now, it may not seem that way because you've been taught all your life through culture and upbringing that life should be this way, and now you're telling me I should do this. And I get that dichotomy, but the Bible's, but you got to trust. And this is where trust comes in. I'm just going to trust God because things ain't working out for me. Look what it says. The serpent was more cunning than, this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Here's what the devil said. I know God told you this, and I know God said don't do this, but I'm going to tell you that's not true. That's the devil, 100% of the time. Anytime you think God and the devil have equal footing on truth, you are lost. God is always right, and he is always wrong. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. As soon as they did what God told them not to do, their eyes were open, and they said, oh, snap. How many of y'all, by a show of hands, have getting ready to do something, and you kind of thought maybe this ain't the right thing to do? Maybe you didn't, but then did it, and you're like, oh, snap. Anybody? That's what happened. Let me tell you something. And here's what's going to happen. Some of y'all, y'all are going to have a sermon in your head, and you're going to be creeping. I know Pastor Miles talked about this, and I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. The police, SDPD, cop called me up one day and said, we just went to someone's house who called us because he said you were trying to get in the house and preach to them. I wasn't. But they were having this thing. He's coming after me because they were living in sin. And they called the police. Let me tell you something. The devil is, if he can get you not to trust the Bible, and every time you sin, and anytime you rebel against God, you are telling God, I got a better idea. Number three, our sin ruined the opportunity to enjoy access to God's blessing. Here's Adam and Eve, two people. They're supposed to be, you know, they're the only people on the planet. God told them, be fruitful and multiply. Eat anything. Play with the animals. The bears won't kill you. The lions won't kill you. You could ride on the whales and all this stuff. And I had this vision the other day of riding on a whale. No, for real. This is a true story. If I'm in a kayak, and I bet you I'm not going to be the only one, but imagine you were in a kayak in Hawaii, and a whale came right here and looked at you with his eye. This big whale. How many of y'all would go... How many of y'all would touch it? Let's start there, right? You touch it, that's right. Why not? The brother, if he wanted to kill you, he would just bap and throw you up. So he comes up and looks at you, because a friend of mine happened. The whale came right and put his eye right on the surface and looked at him. So I'm thinking, okay, I would touch it. How many of y'all, I know you would already, I know that guy would get out of the boat and get on top of the whale. Come on, anybody, ah! This is a trip, think about it. I was telling my wife, I had this vision, AI is scary, because this might have been an AI deal. I had this thought, I didn't tell anybody of doing that. The next day, I saw on Instagram a guy actually do that. That's scary. He told Adam and Eve, you can do anything you want, nothing's gonna kill you. There's no death. And yet someone comes and says, Let me have you focus on what you don't have. Number three, our sin ruined the opportunity. To ruin is to destroy or damage something. We and our sin damaged everything, the relationship we have with God. The great thing is that God has a plan to restore it. That's the great thing. Come on now. Look what it says in Genesis 3:19. The Lord called Adam and said, where are you? Because he was hiding. He said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not? There's only one reason why you would be hiding from me. You did what I told you not to do. By the way, here's the great news. Even though that sin kills things in our life, and even though sin is the only thing that's going to destroy your relationship with God, we have the solution to your sin, which is Jesus Christ on the cross and resurrected from the dead. Come on. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not? And the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me of the tree. It's her fault. It's a sea devil. Fellas, y'all need to be men of God and lead your family. Stop blaming women. The Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the devil deceived me. And God said, you know what? Both of y'all are blamed. Stop blaming other people for your sin. At the end of the day, you did it. Genesis 3:16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception, and in pain you shall bring forth children. I can attest that that really happens. Not because I gave any children, not because I had a baby, but my wife, 12 hours of labor for the first child, 24 hours of labor for the second child, 49 hours of labor for our third child. That's Eve. Genesis 3:17, to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree that I commanded you, saying you shall not eat. Adam, I told you directly, this is your fault. Cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. The reason you have thorns, the reason we have thorns, earthquakes, tsunamis, because God cursed the earth. And so here we are today. That's the gospel context. That is the dire situation the world is in and we are in. What is the solution? Jesus Christ forgiving you of your sin. And is not only offered to you, we want to help you share this with other people. That's what the training is about. In a minute, you're going to see a skit. This is scene number 3 in Just One Conversations. This is our third week of doing this. And in this scene, Elliot and Sarah are taking the training, and they are going to go over the glove story and present that to Nick. So check out this skit.
Like, I just feel like I don't want to mess this up when Nick comes. Like, I want to be able to make sure I get the good news in there. Like, I'm kind of freaking out, dude. I just don't want to mess up, you know?
Okay,
like,
Sarah,
I need to put my coffee down.
Like, yeah, let's breathe for a second. You're kind of overwhelming yourself. Just calm down. It's not your job to save Nick, okay? It's your job to just be obedient, to share the gospel.
Okay.
Let God be God. Let Sarah be Sarah.
Okay. I just wanted to go well, smooth. I'm looking at the reachjustone.com website and the session 3 example, the glove illustration. Mm-hmm. I really love that. I want to try and work it into the conversation when Nick gets here, but I feel like I'm always like messing it up, and I just want to go over it with you if you're down before he comes.
Yeah, let's do it. That's a good idea.
Just so, to review it.
Yeah. You remember how it starts?
I need your help with that. I always forget.
No problem. So the glove is made in the image of the hand, so that the hand can fit inside the glove, right?
Right, okay. So the glove was made in the image of the hand so that the hand can be inside the glove.
Correct.
And with the hand, the glove has purpose. It's useful. You can use it as a glove. But without the hand, it's lifeless.
There you go. You got it. Okay. So In the same way,
we were created in the image of God so that God could live inside of us. With God, we have purpose. We're filled with his strength, his power, but without God, we are spiritually dead.
That's perfect. You said it better than me.
Yes.
You have no problem when Nick comes, okay?
Okay.
So just make sure you stay calm.
Yeah.
You be curious.
Okay.
You be courageous, all right?
Okay.
Nick's here.
Hey.
Hey, Nick.
Y'all? How's it going?
Hi, good to see you.
What's up, Sarah? Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, bro.
Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, man.
So how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. Another day.
Dude, I just, like, last week, this week, you just don't seem like yourself, you know? Like, I know you, Nick. Like, what's going on? You can be honest.
I'm not trying to do a whole therapy session, but, you know, I get sad sometimes. I'm human, you know, so. But I'm good. Like I said, I'm good.
I don't want to be your therapist. I'm just a friend, you know?
Yeah.
I'm an ear. I'll listen to you. But, like,
when
you're sad, I mean, people get sad, but how are you coping with that?
Nothing crazy. I might have a few drinks. I might smoke something. I don't, you know, just something to take my mind off it. But like I said, I'm good. Well, I don't want this to be like an intervention or,
not at all. But, bro, I did that. You know my story. Like, I did drugs to try to cope with the anxiety and stuff, but I don't know about you. It left me feeling worse afterwards, you know?
Yeah,
like, I had more anxiety.
That makes sense.
And, I just...
So how did you actually figured that out? Like, you went to rehab or something like that?
No, I didn't go to rehab. Like, I did take an edible to get to church because I was so anxious. But when I was at church, I really did encounter the presence of God there. Like, in an instant, as soon as I surrendered it all to him and let him come into my heart, like, in an instant, the addiction was gone. I never did drugs after that point. And the anxiety, it was a journey. I still see a Christian therapist, but I'm anxiety attack free now. So sometimes God can do it in an instant. Sometimes it's a process. But I was so spiritually dead before, and with God, with Jesus, I'm free. Like,
wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
What did you say? Spiritually dead? What does that mean?
Spiritually dead.
So yeah, I can share with you the gospel context. It might make more sense. So God created us in his image to have a loving relationship with him. Mm-hmm. But pridefully, we rebelled, and that ruined the opportunity. So it's at that moment of rebellion where we became spiritually dead. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. So am I spiritually dead, you think? Like, I'm going to hell, you think?
Well, let me explain it in a way that really helped me kind of understand this spiritually dead thing. So a glove was made in the image of a hand, right?
Yeah.
The five fingers. So that a hand can fit inside the glove. And with the hand, the glove is useful. You can use it, and it has a purpose. Yeah. But without the hand, the glove is lifeless.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Surprisingly, it does.
Okay, so track with me. In the same way, we were created in the image of God, right? Okay. So that God can live inside of us. Uh-huh. And with God, we have purpose. We're filled with his power. We're filled with his strength. But without God, we're spiritually dead. Wow. Does that make sense?
I think it does, surprisingly. So you're saying I was made in the image of God so that God could live inside of me and give me purpose.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody break it down like that before.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah. Course.
But I, you know, I still have some questions, though. There's still some stuff that I'm just confused on, I guess.
Totally. Yeah, we're happy to answer.
We're happy to. Well, what questions do you have? Do you want to share them now? Or?
Well, let me get it together, and then maybe we can meet again sometime if you guys are free.
Yeah, I'd love that. You want to meet next week? Same time, same place?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Same time, same place.
Great.
Amen, amen. How you guys doing? Good? You guys liking the skit so far? Okay, is it making sense? Okay. My name is Elliot. You guys know me as the guy that sits over here, right? But when I'm not participating in these skits, I have the pleasure of being one of the leaders of the healing ministry at the San Marcos campus. All right? We just heard the gospel context. In the next couple weeks, we're going to hear about the gospel text and the gospel next. But it's from today's context that I really want you guys to know the desperate need that we need and we have for our Savior, all right? So as I mentioned, God created us in his image to have a loving relationship with him. But pridefully, we rebelled and we ruined that opportunity. When rebellion occurred, sin entered. And sin, when it's full grown, it leads to death. There's a spiritual death that separates us from the loving relationship that we were intended to have with our Father in heaven. But the good news is that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, all right? God saw it fit to save us before anything was made that would be made, before the stars, the universe, everything. He had a way out, and this way out was found in the Son. About 9 years ago now, which is crazy to believe, about a decade since I graduated with my undergraduate, but I majored in economics, and I remember we had to learn this term called willingness to pay. So essentially what that means is, it's the maximum price that any consumer is willing to pay for any given good or a service. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ, who is in very nature God, emptied himself of his divine privileges. He took on the form of a bondservant, meaning he became man, and not just any man, not a governor, not a mayor, but he became a lowly man from the town of Nazareth. And he died a criminal's death, which was crucifixion at that time. And he did this to atone for the sins that you and I committed against him. Doesn't that just blow your mind? Our God loved us so much that he will stop at nothing to redeem us from what we have done. the good news that we can respond to this free gift of salvation that's found alone in the name of Jesus. I'm going to invite you to say this prayer for me, with me. And it's a prayer that's as simple as A, B, C. All right? It's A, we're going to admit that we were sinners. B, we're going to believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead for our sins. C, we're going to confess Jesus as Lord of our lives. All right? So before we jump into this prayer, there's two groups of people that I specifically want to address. The first group are the people that will be giving their life to Christ for the first time. I know it might be nerve-wracking. I've been here multiple times, and it's shaky. But what helped me as I was leaving Islam to go follow Jesus were the words of Jesus, found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. He says, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, the door will be open. Let's just hold God accountable to what he says he is in his own word. The second group are those of you that will be recommitting your life to Christ again for the second time, maybe third time. It's okay. We're glad you're here. Come and receive. Do not let the enemy hold your sin against you, because we know that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to purify us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Remember the story of the prodigal son. The good father did not even bring up the son's sin against him. He just embraced him with open arms. So I'm going to ask you all to bow your head, close your eyes. And if you find yourself in either of these two categories, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer of repentance with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for what you've done. I admit that I am a sinner. I understand that the penalty of my sin is death. But Lord, I believe that you sent the Son Jesus to die and rise from the dead for my sin. Today, Jesus, I confess you as Lord of my life, and I received your free gift of salvation. So with eyes closed and heads bowed, if you prayed this prayer either for the first time or in a form of repentance for the second or third time, I'm going to ask you to stand at the count of three. And when you stand, this is symbolically showing you're standing into new resurrection life. All right? So at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand in boldness. One, two, three. Stand at your feet.